and raised in Waukesha. He did his first hunting and fishing right here. Now he hunts the world and cooks it up deliciously, featured as the Midwestern host of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Joe Clayfish was raised in the Shaw. A couple extra pounds never
really hurt. What's up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Ferriman. You know, I love that line that Aaron Lewis sings, a couple extra pounds never really hurt. I wish I could, Danielle, I wish I could tell my doctor a couple extra pounds never really hurt.
A couple extra garlic bread sticks never really hurt.
I'm not sure if he said, I think maybe my problem is that I have more than a couple extra pounds. Welcome to Raised in Wisco, the show that's all about hunting, fishing, wildlife, outdoors of Wisconsin, and whatever I decide or Danielle decides it's going to be about that week. Now, if you know me, you know I give a shout out every week to the Kennedy clan from Oconomowoc. And that is because, in part, a woman named Robin Kennedy, who I work with in the disability community, is a stalwart for the disability community. And if you know me, if you followed my life whatsoever, you know that I've got my fingers in a lot of pies. I spent 14 years in the legislature, where we changed more than 100 laws I authored that changed laws throughout the state of Wisconsin for every man, woman, and child. But something very near and dear and close to my heart is making sure people with disabilities have all the rights that everyone else enjoys. And certainly making sure that if you live with a diverse ability in the state of Wisconsin, that you believe you may take part in the outdoors, in your job choices, in your career choices, your home life choices. And that's something that's been incredibly important to me. And in fact, and we're going to get into it a little bit later in the show, we do a yearly event, an A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series, Danielle, where we take some folks with diverse abilities who may not be able to fish under, you know, just circumstances with, and we allow for disabled accessible for them to get up close to a pond to help them out with specific equipment to be able to have an awesome fishing adventure. And that is like one of the most exciting, fun things that we do all year. But today we're going to diversify. Is that cool with you, Danielle?
I'm very cool with it. Let's do it.
All right. Today we're going to talk about the diverse ability community in the state of Wisconsin and some of the wonderful things that are happening. And in the interest of full disclosure, I have to say I work for our guest today. I work for Robin Kennedy and
the A-Team. So your boss is here.
A-Team Wisconsin. She is my boss. She never lets me be called the boss. And for those folks who are, this is such an awesome and exciting topic for us that we literally have jammed phone lines. Karen from Arkansas, Harris from Ohio, Harris Caps, Nancy from Arkansas, please be patient with us because we are going to get to your calls today.
Very excited.
But I'm so excited to have part of the Kennedy clan that we shout out every week to.
And today, can we still shout out to them?
Sure. Let's shout out to the rest of the Kennedy clan who's listening in Oconomowoc. But Robin Kennedy, head of the A-Team, my boss in one of my real jobs that I have. I kind of think like radio is like a playtime job. Sometimes I think
this is
not
really
a real
fun
job because it's too fun. Don't tell Calvin. Our producer Calvin smiling in there. Don't tell Crude I said that.
He's like, this feels
he's
like a job.
Probably listening, but I don't need the boss to think that it's just all fun and games in here.
Well, when you get to talk, I think it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
And hear yourself talk. I love
I know.
Doing that.
I think I like to hear myself talk. I have been accused of that before. So Robin Kennedy, now this is a fascinating, you know, I spent time in the legislature and some of the initiatives we worked on were for making sure that people in the diverse ability community have choices as to how they work and live. And I'm going to start by saying I had vaguely met Robin Kennedy before, but the time that we actually were introduced to each other, I tell people she tackled me in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot after I got a haircut. And she always says that's not exactly the case, but
She probably dropped a shoulder on you. I could see that.
Yeah, I think she did. But whatever happened, Robin Kennedy, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hello, Robin.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Yay. Well, we're excited to have you. And I have to tell you that, and I think Rick Wilson's even on the line now, too. First off, let me ask you, what got you so interested in becoming involved in the diverse abilities community, and why did you devote your life to it? Why did you decide that this was something that was important to you and that you wanted to pursue?
Wow. That's a deep question, but I'm going to simplify it. I just love people, and that's really what brought me to working with people with disabilities. I think work is dignifying, and I came into it just wanting to coach and help people. Started about 30 years ago and never looked back.
And I think you're kind of a bootstraps person. I mean, that's kind of your philosophy a little bit. I mean, I know you well enough to know you have a hippy-dippy side, too. I'm just going to say it. I'm throwing it out there. She comes in smelling like... She smells like patchouli sometimes. I'm not even kidding. She does have that side to her. But you do have a very strong ethic toward allowing people the dignity of work, which I think is very much at the base of what we do, isn't it?
Yes, 100%. I'm German. And nice. Germans work. That's
yes,
what we do. And we feel good about it. And it's an inspiration from my mom and dad. And I just, people are people. And that's what we do with the A-Team.
From an outsider point of view, because I do not work with you guys at all. I'm not part of this whatsoever. So from my side, like, I never realized it was that, like, a complicated or a situation thing for disabled people or anybody to get a job or to do these things. So that the fact that you guys are actually doing it, since we talked last week and we mentioned you and the A-Team, people at work, I work, I'm a heavy equipment operator. One of the foremen says, hey, my son has autism. He's only 7 or 8. He's like, so everyone makes fun of him. He's like, how do I get him out here? How do I help him do these type of things? I was like, oh, listen to the radio show at Thursday at 7 o'clock and we'll let you know.
I think that when it comes to the disability community, that in general, most people are open to the concept of making sure people with disabilities have opportunities. I think some of the difficulty lies in the nuances of how they're actually allowed to choose those opportunities.
Absolutely. It's a complicated discussion, and there's a lot of different nuances to it. But I think with the A-Team and just in general, we just look at people as people. And that's what makes us different. We don't look at the file or, oh, what can't they do? What's not a workable thing? We just want people to have choices and freedoms and be able to do what they want to do in their life.
As they should.
I think that's very well said. And let's talk a little bit about what the A-Team is. So I work for the A-Team. I'm government affairs guy for the A-Team, and I get to do a lot of public relations and videos and some of this. It's an incredibly satisfying job. But for someone who doesn't understand necessarily the mission of the A-Team, the mission of the A-Team is to give people with diverse abilities all the choices that everyone else has in society. And while that seems like something that should be not anticipated or not take a bunch of work, unfortunately, in society, there are things that get in the way of that, and sometimes it's government, and sometimes it's regulation, and sometimes it's people who are well-intentioned who aren't helping. And those are the tough issues to talk about, but I don't want to go too long before we get to some of the phone calls. I want to bring Karen up from Arkansas, because A-Team Wisconsin is a nationwide network. We are A-Team USA, and we've got folks in dozens of other states who participate with us in this. And I'm so excited to have you guys on the radio, because something that is important with Raised in Wisco is how we take care of people and how we offer people in Wisconsin the choices they have, whether that be in the outdoors, whether that be at their workplace or how or where they live. Karen, are you there? Can I hear you, Karen? You here? Karen?
Can you hear me?
Karen, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm Actually, I'm fixing dinner. So,
ooh, what's for dinner?
I was going to be speaking. I'm making meatloaf. I have my fingers in the pie.
Oh, my goodness.
Lordy.
You got your fingers in a bunch of pies, too.
No, A-Team's been a wonderful group. It's a nationwide group, and I'm so glad that our state is a part of that. It is a grassroots effort that helps parents and self-advocates to voice their needs and their wants. And it's very important for people to have a choice in what they want to do. Sometimes people bring it up as a civil rights issue, but it really is. To have that choice is what we all desire and we all want for ourselves. So, I don't know what else you wanted me to say.
No, but, I think that sounds like a great answer. But I want to talk to you for just a second, and I think Robin would echo this, that the movement for those with diverse abilities to be, you know, to have choices in their lives is kind of a newish movement, but the key rests in the families and the grassroots folks who participate in the A-Team. And I can't tell you, you know, from our perspective, you know, Robin and I are doing what we can with government relations, and we're working with the lawmakers to make those choices easier. But it is quintessentially important that the families are a part of it. And that's why you and folks like you are so important to the A-Team's mission, Karen.
Yes, and you know, in our state, we are not probably as far as Wisconsin is. With our grassroots efforts, but I can tell you it's been a great starting point, and we're hoping to gain momentum as we get more and more, as parents and families get more acquainted with the mission and what it's all about, because ultimately they have the responsibility for a lifetime with their adult children of maintaining a home life or some kind of constant for them so that they have the advantages that other people have, as you and I have. And so it's really important to keep them engaged and make sure that they are aware of the importance of that. And I think they do.
I think you put that very well. And I'm going to borrow a phrase that everybody uses across the political spectrum and every spectrum. And I think this is really about empowerment. I think it's about empowering.
Can you hear me? Hello? Oh, I'm back.
I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my
Welcome back
ground.
To Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. I am actually Joel Clayfish, and this
is Danielle Fairman. Hello.
You say your name Danielle. Danielle? Is it more Danielle or Danielle?
I don't know. I've been saying it that way for 34 years. I noticed that. Nobody has corrected me.
Well, I'm not correcting you.
Have I been saying my name wrong?
Danielle, it is your name.
Well, I just feel like I cannot, like, enunciate all my words because I talk fast and I don't think. My mouth,
you
my
say
brain.
Danielle.
Danielle.
But it's your name, so you can say it any way you want. I say Clayfish. Everyone looks at Clayfish, and I say Clayfish, and then most people say Clayfish eventually.
Maybe that's probably why people call me D.
Well, that's
because
easy too,
I say it wrong, and
I don't mind either way.
Hello, I'm Danielle.
We are going somewhat off the topic of the outdoors today. I mean, we're still going to get to the outdoors in the show, but we're talking about the diverse ability community in the state of Wisconsin and across the country, and the opportunities that are growing for folks in the diverse ability community. And there's a person, I'm going to bring him off hold. He's on hold waiting for it. Is Rick Wilson still with us, Calvin? All right, patch him in, because Rick Wilson is at the epicenter of the movement to make sure that those with diverse abilities have the opportunities in life and work in home. And like I had said before, in the interest of full disclosure, I work for the A-Team, and I was so excited to bring Robin Kennedy, who is the president and CEO of the A-Team. I know, I make that
up. Yeah,
but
make
it sounds
up.
Good. It
you
sounds like a
no,
good title.
How
it's
are
a fun
you
title.
Not?
Why, how are you not?
I'm just a community organizer.
Okay.
That's there my title.
Well, maybe you can run for president then.
Absolutely. Community organizer.
Rick Wilson, are you on the line with Robin Kennedy, Danielle Fairman, and Joel Clayfish on Raised in Wisco? Are you here?
Hi, Joel. This is Rick. I am here. How are you this evening?
I'm doing Rick. You know, I'm doing well, Rick. Rick, without people like you, you know, entities like the A-Team never would exist and be as successful as we are. And you're kind of like the ad hoc, graduated attorney of the organization. We lean on you for quite a bit, and you do some pretty fantastic research. Tell us a bit about how you got, you know, started with the A-Team and why, you know, making sure the interests of those who are in the diverse abilities community are so important to you.
Well, I'm a single parent now. I have a son, 38-year-old son, Christopher. He has Down syndrome, and he's a wonderful kid. Just anybody that meets him just loves him. And the thing about Christopher is that he likes to work. He's always had a job ever since he graduated from high school. He's worked about 18, 19 years now in what we call community rehabilitation program centers, which are the work center programs for those with, special challenges in life. And so to him, it's very important to have that job. It gives him self-esteem. He loves going. I wish everybody liked going to their jobs as much as he likes going to his.
That's very true.
When we were hearing things many years ago now, and I heard things when we worked with Robin 11, 12 years ago, we started hearing things that some of these programs might be in jeopardy. And I felt like I had to do everything I could to preserve the ability to work for my son, Chris. And so that's why I've been so involved in it. And now I'm retired, so I guess I have plenty of time to research a lot of those legal stuff.
Well, I'm going to guess that Robin did not tackle you in a parking lot like she tackled me. How did you two get hooked up to work on this mission?
Well, Christopher was working at Opportunities Incorporated there in Fort Atkinson, and when we started hearing about some possible problems, the folks at Opportunities, reached out to some parents, and we had some meetings, and we just started this A-Team movement. It just sort of was the right thing to do. It was centered around that one facility and the families that were involved with it. And over the years, it's just grown to many more locations and many more states. There's so many parents out there like myself who are caregivers for their loved ones, who know how much it matters to them to work, and realistically would not be able to work were it not for these work centers. My son does not want any kind of a daycare program. He wants to work. He loves getting a paycheck. He loves the satisfaction of doing his job. And he's found friendship, camaraderie, and just a whole lot of life meaning in working at his work center. So I'm going to do everything I can, as long as I can, to keep this opportunity and this choice for him going. And actually, he's been listening to your show, so he's here with me. And
great. Well, tell him
hello.
I said hi.
He might even want to say hi, Joel.
Yeah, is he right there?
Yeah, he can say hi to you.
Well, tell him what to say.
Hello.
Hi, Christopher.
Hey, Christopher.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I got Robin with me in the studio, and Danielle, and Robin's son Aiden even came along tonight. But he's watching on the side. We might throw a mic in front of him if there's time. We're having such unbelievable response to the show that we've got a switchboard full of callers. And Rick, I want to leave you with this. I think most people, the average person you talk to, would say they'd be very surprised to hear that there's anything in the way of giving people with diverse abilities the same options everyone else has.
I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty because everyone's just so strong and they can do it. I'm sorry. I'm the guilty party.
No, it's true.
I am so guilty of that.
I think people don't necessarily understand all the political ramifications that come into place when it comes with sometimes regulations and sometimes, you know, those folks who mean well, but what they're intending to do kind of may get in the way of choice. Does that make sense?
Well, it's a cliche. There's a saying that one size does not fit all. I know it's a cliche, but it really applies to the situation. There are individuals who are very successful in working outside of work centers and other jobs. There are some that can't even work in a work center. Just their limitations are so significant. What I'm lobbying for is to have the choice that each individual can find the right path for them in life, find the right situation. That's why this movement at A-Team is so important.
Makes so much sense to me. And just like that, we're done with our second segment. Yeah. But don't go anywhere. Raised in Wisco is going to continue with this topic when we come back. Harris, Nancy, Anita, and we've got another caller also coming in. We'll be right back on 540 AM, 101 FM.
Thank you, Rick. Bye, Christopher.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Man, it's been a rough start to the goose hunting season, Danielle.
Oh, don't get me started.
I mean, we
you
did all right.
You have actually shot your gun. I have not shot my gun yet.
Yeah, we've killed a few, and I've already eaten them. So there's not much putting goose meat in the freezer yet, I'll tell you that.
Oh, Lordy.
Today on Raised in Wisco, we're talking about... We've got Robin Kennedy of the famous Kennedy clan living in Oconomowoc, we shout out to every week. And we dragged her in the studio today because Robin Kennedy is head of the A-Team, which is a national movement to make sure that people with diverse abilities have all the rights of everyone else when it comes to how they get to choose to live and work. And that's incredibly important. We've got such a line of callers, though. I'm going to get right to it. Robin, get ready. Here we go. Harris Capps is joining us from Ohio. Harris, you are a part of the A-Team in Ohio and an integral part. We love all the work that you do. What's going on, Harris? Are you on the air? Oh, I think we're back to Karen. We need Harris. Kelvin, sorry. Kelvin's got his hands full in the studio today.
Does.
I'm telling you what, with all these callers. Harris Capps, you're on the air.
Well, hello.
Welcome to Raised in Wisco, Harris.
Well, hello, Joel and Danielle and Robin.
Hi, Harris.
It's very good to be online with y'all.
It's very good to have you here.
You know, not only is it great to be online, you know, this is the first radio I've listened to in years, and I tell you what, I have picked up a new way to get news. I'm telling you, I love your radio station.
Oh, I just want to give you a big
the
hug.
The Shaw 101. Wow. But I'll tell you what, you know, you guys stand for truth and honesty and all, and that's kind of what the A-Teams across this land of ours stand for also, especially for those who have intellectual and developmental disabilities, especially those who are more severely intellectually and developmentally disabled. You know, how could you not love a state like Wisconsin where you have names like Oshkosh and Milwaukee and Oconomowoc.
You Googled that, didn't
wow.
you?
Wow. Sheboygan, Nina. You can't. Hey, how could you hate a state like that?
I think Nina.
But at any rate, I love Wisconsin. My son used to live at an intermediate care facility, St. Coletta's in Jefferson, Wisconsin.
I'm very familiar.
Unfortunately,
5 minutes away from there.
Unfortunately, they have since closed their doors. But Matt lives at a 24-hour intermediate care facility. He is severely intellectually and developmentally disabled. He does go, as was introduced by Christopher and company, to a sheltered workshop, also called a vocational center. And as was mentioned by Joel and all earlier, there is a movement afoot to try to get rid of sheltered workshops. And you might say, well, why? Well, I think given the positive nature of this show and of the A-Teams, I think it's really a lot of misunderstanding. For example, a lot of people have heard the myth that people just need to have self-determination, and employers across the country are using the waiver to acquire cheap labor. You know, that is so wrong, because my son operates at about a 25% productivity level. He would never be able to get a job in competitive integrated employment, which is where they say he would love to be. But he just, that's not for him. And, you know, my son loves his job so much. I've got a picture of him, and I've shared all the time with people of him just smiling at the work he's done at Perco, his sheltered workshop. And, you know, one Saturday, let me just say this real quickly. One Saturday in 2019, Fran and I got a call from Matt's intermediate care facility. Matt had gone, made the sign for work, which is crossed arms. In other words, he wanted to go to work, but it was Saturday.
Of course.
And so the direct care worker, the direct care worker said, Matt, I'm sorry, the center, your work center is closed today. Well, Matt quickly went into somewhat of a manageable tantrum, and then into what's called a behavioral meltdown. And that ended with yelling, crying, and he bit his direct care worker on the arm. Now, obviously, nobody would blame Matthew for that, but it tells you how much in his soul he wants to go to work, and he just doesn't know how to express that.
But so, he also gains, you know, he has a dignity with it, Harris.
He has the dignity of work, and he gets to meet with his friends. And what I think is the best case of a community environment that he can have. And believe me, for those people who say, who falsely assert that my son is a victim of discrimination and exploitation, well, he would not be able to have a job anywhere else. So, what is the other option? What option are they giving? They are not giving any other option to my son other than to be in a day program and not get a check, not work. And that, to me, for Matthew, is just totally unsatisfactory.
That is not an option, one more fact. I'm concerned.
Yeah, one more fact, if I could. They closed the work centers like Matthew in the state of Maine, where over a seven-year period, displaced persons were not able to obtain employment, and they went to day programs. The enrollment in day programs for that 7 years went from 550 people to 3,200 people in that short a period of time. And what that meant was, they had no work to give all the people that they said they could give work to, and they placed them in day programs with minor activities to do and no paycheck. So Matthew really loves the work that the A-team does. We love the fact that SHA 101 has been willing to and very positive and upbeat about having parents and guardians and all advocates for people like my son tonight.
Well, thank you so much for calling in,
Harris.
We really appreciate it. We're going to get to other calls, or we're never going to fit them in. We've got stacked phone lines here. Have a great night, Harris. We're going to go next to Tracy Gritsenko from St. Louis, who is part of the A-team there. Tracy, welcome to Raised in Wisco. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you great.
Good.
How important is making sure that those with diverse abilities have choices? How important is that to you, and why have you become part of a movement that's growing nationwide to make sure that everyone gets their choices of freedom as Americans?
Well, it's critical, and it's very important, because I was just listening to the father that was just speaking, and the statistics that he pointed out, with the dayhab programs is very telling. And you'll find that in most states that have closed or are closing work centers and sheltered workshops, that statistic holds true. Or there are no statistics available, which is also telling. You would think if that data was something that was a shining example for them, it would be front and center. But instead, there's either no data, or the data just shows that work centers are, their population is growing, which from a financial point of view and legislatively is a lot more costlier than having someone in a work center or in a sheltered workshop. Quite a bit more expensive, actually.
Well, I think it is definitely more expensive, but the reality of it is when it comes to the choice of an individual who's participating, their choice is to have the dignity of work. Their choice is to go to work, to be a productive member of society. Why should society ever tell them that they shouldn't have that choice?
There's no other group in the history of my lifetime. There's no other group that's been told where they can work, where they can live, who they can spend time with. And I'm talking about the community aspect. There is no other group that's been told, you know, where they can and can't work. It would be no different than, Joel, if you got up one morning and turned on the news and they said, well, everybody with the name of Joel is now going to be a plumber. And plumber's a great occupation, but not what you wanted to do. But it's really, that sounds really silly, but that's exactly what's happening. You know, they're being told where they're going to work, where they're going to live. And the government is trying to dictate that. And like we say over and over and over, the only people that should be making that decision are the people themselves and their caretakers and loved ones. Those are the only people that should be involved in those decisions.
Do you think that the folks in the diverse abilities community are gaining momentum, gaining kind of a serious response from the ones who make the laws? Is the movement actually taking hold effectively, or is it spinning its wheels, Tracy?
That's a loaded question. The reason why is once you sit down with someone, what I've found in all of these years of advocating and you know, getting with legislators and educating people, what I find 9.5 times out of 10 is that they didn't know what they didn't know. And once they find out what's really happening and once they actually physically visit a work center or a sheltered workshop, they not only understand, they're blown away by it and support it.
Right.
It's the people that refuse to physically go to a work center or talk to a parent or someone that works in one of these centers. Those are the legislators that we can't get through to, and that's when we start spinning our wheels.
Yeah, because, and I think we should.
It becomes very political.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Anybody who visits or spends time with someone who is making those choices in life and visits a work center or visits the home of someone with a disability and learns what their daily life is like and the things that bring them joy and satisfaction in their own lives, it's very difficult, I think, once you see that this person should be entitled to the opportunities and choices of every other American, I think it becomes virtually impossible to oppose that.
Right. And I would, I agree with you 110%. And again, it goes back to being able to take the blinders off of some of those people for whatever reason, being able to get them to see. And, you know, when we went to the USCCR, when we had gone there and had spoke before the committee and saw the people that were there and the people that were there that were testifying, that were invited to speak, they were all people that were against 14C, that were against work centers, that were against sheltered workshops. And we pleaded with them to visit workshops from various states. All two or three of the people on the panel were very happy to do that, but the person that was leading that charge chose to only go to two or three states, and only one of those states even had work centers. The other two didn't even have work centers. They wanted to see what was happening without them. So again, they never got the full education of what work centers and sheltered workshops are. They never saw it.
I have seen that firsthand in the state of Wisconsin, and we have a real strong bipartisan, coalition of lawmakers who understand giving choices to those with disabilities. And I know, I think Robin would agree with me. It doesn't matter what political stripes you are. When you see someone making a choice in their life that it best suits them, it's real tough not to be on board with that.
Yes,
I agree.
Yeah, and we're right up against the break right away again. We've got one segment left. Anita's on the line, and we've got Nancy from Arkansas hoping to get to those calls. We'll be right back on 101 FM 540 AM WAUK. This is Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. Catch you back after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman in the studio in the fishbowl, I like to call it, 217 Wisconsin Avenue, downtown Waukesha. We've got Robin Kennedy in the studio with us today. We're talking about folks with diverse ability in their choices today, and we're talking about an organization called the A-Team, which advocates for people with diverse abilities, Robin. And you were integral at the founding of the A-Team. And how is the A-Team, how was it conceived, and how did it become such an important aspect of supporting the rights and choices of people with disabilities?
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding with all the people that have been calling in, Joel. And we know this every month when we have our calls with our national movement. It's about the families, and it's about the self-advocates. It's not about paid advocates, ideologues, politicians. It's about the family.
It's about true believers.
It is. And I'm just going to say that was a big thing with you when we first talked about the A-Team, because that is the move. When families came into your office, that was who you listened to, and self-advocates.
Yes, to be fair, I mean, when I was a legislator, I got to know the A-Team just based on the families who came in and said, look, you're a lawmaker, you have the ability to help us have our loved ones make the choices in their lives they deserve to make. Let's go to Anita, who is calling us. Anita, you're on the air. Anita, how's it going tonight?
Oh, wow. It's going great. Our heat is finally breaking out down here, which was pretty bad, but I am so glad to be on with you, Joel, and with Danielle, and with Robin. And I am
hi, Anita.
A mom. Hi. I am a mom of a 29-year-old daughter with multiple disabilities. And she, you know, we did our best. We wanted her to find a positive pathway forward as she became an adult. And so we went through all the trainings and things, and it became apparent she was going to need support in whatever she did outside of our home. So we were able to find a program near our home that she really, really enjoys. It's very well run. She enjoys the connections and everything there. And then we got notice that the state wanted to shut them down.
Anita, can you tell everyone what state you're from again?
I am from Utah.
Thank you.
So, yes. So there were everybody was just horrified. So I went home and got on my computer and started looking. I thought this can't be right. This can't be, you know, they were saying that the federal government was requiring this. I thought this just can't be right. This can't be right. So I found the A-Team there, and I talked to Tracy Gritsenko and found Robin and started listening to the calls. And all the work that Rick and Harris and so many others put in and the monthly calls has helped me to become familiar, and I've been able to talk to the other parents that are concerned with this, and it's just been something so important because I just don't know. You know, during COVID, we had the experience of having our daughter home full time, and it was just so hard for her to maintain a positive attitude, and you know, for all of us, I think it was.
That's how much she enjoys work, is what you're saying.
Oh yes, yes. And the regulations here are such that some people have been required to stop their work, and they have to participate in the day program, activity-based day programs, and they've worked very hard to try and make that work at her program. But you will walk in there, and the energy is just completely different. I mean, somebody is coloring, somebody is doing a puzzle, but some of them are just staring off into space, and it's just heartbreaking. Anyway, but I just, so we're keeping working here, but without the support of the A-team, we would be in real trouble. So anyway, thank you for all you do.
Oh, Anita, thank you so much for calling in. You have a great night. And
thank
you,
Anita.
We've got 4 minutes left, so I want to get to the other callers on the line before the end of the show. Nancy from Arkansas. Nancy, you're on the air. Thanks for joining us tonight. And I'm guessing you're going to tell us a similar story about the importance of making sure that folks with diverse abilities have the choices that they deserve.
Yes, they do. I believe they have the choices. People are people, and I believe regardless of your disability or a disability, you can do what it takes if you put your mind to it. I've worked with disability people that had disabilities for quite a few years, and I have actually showed them, you know, work, and they could do just like we could do, like anybody else. That's my belief.
And it's mine, too. What's your advice to folks out there who are listening tonight who might want to get involved or say, you know, this sounds like something that not only should I be a part of, but the entire state should really embrace to give folks the chance to work and live how they want?
Yes, I believe they should work and live how they want, and everybody should get involved. I mean, even if you don't have a child, I mean, it doesn't matter. You should get involved in it, because it's really, I can kind of relate to some of those people. It is really sad when you do see people just into those other centers and they just do puzzles, and it's different when you work in and around disability people. It gives me a great pleasure.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Nancy.
Thanks for calling, Nancy.
You have a great night tonight.
Thank you for all y'all do.
You're very welcome, and it's a pleasure and an honor, to be honest with you. And this is something that every American should have their choice as to how they live and work in their lives. We're going to go now to Kathy Norman, who called in. Kathy, I know you, and your work is tireless for making sure that folks with disabilities have the rights they deserve.
I just got on. And, it is. I don't know what we would do if Casey didn't have a system where he could go to every day and be a part of a family there. That is his family. I was concerned a little bit with Anita from Utah, because we've been checking there, and we have heard wonderful things about the autism and the way they work with their people, autistic people there. So I was really a little disturbed about that, because I hear one thing over the phone and what I read about, and then she was concerned that they weren't getting the help they needed. I talked to a lady at a school in Utah, and they're building a building there. And Casey would be in a room, and then he'd go to school. He would be able to go to school till he's 36 to learn how to go on with his life after I'm gone.
Kathy, I hate to break you off, because that is definitely an inspirational story, but we got 30 seconds before the end of the show, and I want to talk real quick. I want to throw in that the
Thank
Week
you,
for
Kathy.
Choice is coming up October 3rd through the 7th for the A-Team. This show should show you how important it is for folks who are parents and families of those with disabilities, and that we give them the right choice. Robin Kennedy, thank you for coming today. I appreciate
Loved it.
Danielle Fairman, my co-host.
I was silent this whole entire thing.
Go. Yes, it was awesome.
Hey, can I shout out awesome. ateamusa.net?
You better shout them out quick.